I'd like to read part of Luke's gospel of the birth of Christ, Luke chapter 2. And it came to pass in those days that a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be registered. Then this census first took place while Quirinius was governing Syria. So all went to be registered, everyone to his own city. Joseph also went up from Galilee, out of the city of Nazareth unto Judea, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the line and house of David, to be registered with Mary, his betrothed wife, who is with child. So it was that while they were there, the days were completed for her to be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son, and wrapped them in swaddling cloths and laid him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. I so appreciate people taking time out of their schedules to come to something like this. It seems like some people spell Christmas differently. Some can spell it R-U-S-H. Others just spell it B-U-S-Y. Because no matter how little you try to compact your schedule, it seems like it just rolls along at this time of season. It is, as a matter of fact, an informal survey revealed what most people wanted for Christmas was two more weeks to get ready. That brings up an interesting thought. Christmas represents the birth of Jesus Christ, the one whose birth broke history into two times, B.C. and A.D. When a USA Today poll reported the results, actually of three polls, it found a significant portion of Americans felt quite strongly that the birth of Jesus Christ is what makes the Christmas holiday significant. Whenever we're given a chance to celebrate our birthday, we are likely to be given a chance to be able to say something. After all, it's our birthday. So since it's the birthday of Jesus Christ, why not ask the question, if Jesus had a few minutes to talk to you this Christmas season, what would he like to say? I think there's four things. One has to do with who he is. Now, every parent views the birth of their child as special and unique. Just ask them, you'll hear a multitude of stories. But there's never been a baby quite as unique as the one born about 2,000 years ago. The reason is both simple and supernatural. The one born in the manger was the eternal and perfect Son of God in human flesh. And that's why when the angel announced to Mary that God would use her to deliver a divine child, he said, "The Holy One who is to be born will be called the Son of God." Now, as he grew up, Jesus demonstrated this over and over again, being the one who gave sight to the blind, healing to the paralyzed, cleansing to the leper, hearing to the deaf, life to the dead, forgiveness to a prostitute, mercy to a sinner, help to the helpless, and hope to the hopeless. All forms of grace. Jesus was not just simply a picture of what God would be like. The scriptures say, uniquely, he was God. And that's why he could go on to say later in John's gospel, "He who has seen me has seen the Father." Therefore, one thing, if Jesus had a few moments to talk with you this Christmas time, I think one thing he would declare is, first, I am God. The second might be about what he did. Now, it's general that Christmas time brings out different things about us as human beings. And part of the culture's appeal to us is summed up in three letters at this season. G-E-T, get. Get. One word could have summed up the life of Jesus Christ as well, but with four letters, give. We are told in Mark's gospel that Jesus said, "For even the Son of Man has come to be served, has not come to be served, but to serve, and give his life a ransom for many." So what did he mean by give his life, and what is a ransom? See, Jesus was perfect man and perfect God, born into a world of sinners. For all of us sin in some form or fashion, sooner or later, more or less, in lying, in hating, deceiving. And so God, being the God he is, has no choice but to punish sin. The result of that is eternal separation from God, spelled out in the simple words of Scripture: the wages of sin is death. Now, since sin was not our doing, not Christ's, he could have left us to suffer our own consequences. But loving us the way he did, he demonstrated his love the greatest way possible. The story is told, I believe it's a true story, a new Marine recruit went into Paris Island. He was one of those young men who seemed to be a bit out of step with the norm and easily and quickly became a subject of ridicule for those who like picking on others. In the barracks to which he was assigned, there was a large group of those who were quite talented at meanness. They did everything they could think of to make a joke of this new recruit. One day, someone came up with the idea to have a disarmed grenade, and they would all know about it except for him, and at one point toss it into their midst and see and yell out, "It's live," and see what he would do, see if he would jump out the window or run. So they were ready to get a big laugh. One day, a hand grenade was thrown in. The warning was yelled, "It's live, it's about to explode." They fully expected him to get hysterical and head for the door. Instead, this young man fell on the grenade, hugged it to his stomach, and yelled to the others, "Run, you'll be killed if you don't." And all they did was stand there in abject silence, looking at him. That the one who they were trying so hard and had successfully done so much to make so much fun and ridicule of him was the one who would turn around and give his life for them if necessary. And that's what Jesus did. Approximately 33 years after Jesus was born, he took our place, not on a grenade, but on a cross. Died as a substitute, taking what we were due for our sins. Now, a ransom is a payment made to someone else to release a captive. That is a ransom. And so, in dying as our substitute, Jesus paid the price that sin demanded. And that was life. And he paid it. He died for us, the scripture says, and rose again, victorious over death and the devil. And now God then had a basis to save people instead of condemning us. And that's why part of the Christmas story is, "For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord." If Jesus had a few minutes to talk, the second thing he would say is, "Why did I come? I came to die on a cross for you. The third thing would be possibly, why did he do that? Any honest person would say possibly what he enjoys most about receiving gifts at Christmas is that to them, they're free. Somebody else paid. It's an expression of love, but it's just something that to them is free to receive. Jesus was born in a manger and died on the cross so that we could receive a free gift of eternal life through him. The price was paid. Now, God cannot and will not accept us because of church going or anything else in that sense. He only accepts us on the basis of what Jesus did on the cross. If Jesus Christ would have a tattoo on him, it would probably say, it could say, born to die. Which is why he came. He was born to die. And he didn't do it to start a new religion or get people to go to church or be volunteers in their communities or build hospitals or even start rescue missions. As a matter of fact, Jesus Christ did not die to make bad people good or good people better, but to make wrong people right with God and to make sinful people forgiven. An angel told Joseph, "You will call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins." Admitting our need as sinners, then all that is left to us is to receive as a gift eternal life by trusting Jesus Christ as the only way to heaven. Again, the Bible repeatedly uses the word believe. Jesus said, "He who believes in me has everlasting life." To those who believe in him, who have received him, it expresses. And that word believes means to trust, to rely on, to depend. It's interesting. One of the most famous bridges in the United States is that of the Golden Gate Bridge. Taking some 4 years, 4 months to complete, at a cost of over $76 million in the mid-1930s, which would translate to over $1 billion today, the bridge is a monument to bridge building. In its time, it was one of the largest bridges in the world. It has a weight of almost 900,000 tons, and the massive two cables that hold it are some, 36 inches across, a cable, 36 inches. The amount of wire for those two cables along contains some 80,000 miles. And just to build the cables themselves took some 6 months. And so the bridge holds everything from the smallest car you could think of to the largest tractor trailer there is, and more, because it's built for it. But every vehicle that crosses that bridge or any other, without thinking, you put your full reliance on that you'll get to the other side. We do it all the time without thinking. And that is what the Bible means by believing, trusting, relying on, depending on. For whatever kind of person we are, whatever kind of life we've lived, however negative it's been involved in, or else if we consider ourselves someone who is good, someone who is ethical and moral, we must trust in Jesus Christ alone as the only way to heaven. as God's way. And the moment we do that, then God gives us the gift of eternal life through Jesus Christ. So at that point, instead of just enjoying what's under the tree, there are those who have received Christ and who, to a small degree, can experience a little bit of Christmas 365 days a year, because every day becomes another gift of God's grace. Another day. So the third thing that Jesus might tell us is, through trust in me alone, I can give you eternal life. That's why he did. That's why he died. The last thing could possibly be, what does that mean to me? The comment has been made that when God wanted to shake the world, he didn't use a bomb, he used a baby. God's greatest gift that has impacted millions, some 2,000 approximate years ago, was found in a manger. And that's one reason why, if Jesus had a few moments to speak with you at Christmas time, he would possibly say, Christmas says of me, I'm God. I came to die on a cross as your substitute, and through trust in me, I can give you eternal life. Two women were having lunch together in a very exclusive restaurant. One asked, what's the occasion? One responded, well, we're having a birthday party for the baby in our family. He's 2 years old today. Oh, where's the baby? Oh, I dropped him off at my mother's house to take care of him until the party's over. With him along, it just wouldn't have been as much fun. Okay, to have a birthday party without the reason for having the birthday party. Doesn't make much sense. Now, would it not be just as strange, one writer says, to think of Christmas without Christ? Take the word Christ out of the word Christmas, and there's not much left. Christmas is his birthday. It is not the exact date. I don't worry about the exact date of it. It is the fact that Jesus Christ came from heaven to earth, born as a babe. It's his birthday. It is not Christmas that makes Jesus Christ exciting. It is Jesus Christ, for those who know him, that makes Christmas exciting. In fact, so many have found that to trust Christ, they continue to receive his year-long grace. So the last thing he could be asking is, in light of all this, are you trusting me? Do you trust me? Do you trust me enough to save you, to give you the gift of eternal life? Somebody once expressed a prayer, very simple. Dear God, I come to you. I know I'm a sinner. Nothing I am or will ever do would ever make me worthy or deserving of heaven. I believe Jesus Christ, the one who is born in a manger, is the one who died for me on a cross. He died for my sins, and he rose again. And I place my trust in him as the only way to heaven, for the free gift of eternal life is found in Jesus Christ alone. If you want to pray that, I won't read it again. I'll pray. We're going to close at this time, and then we're going to just be doing something special at the end here. But if God is speaking to someone this evening, what an amazing thing it would be that if you would find yourself a few thousand years into heaven and think back and go, you know, on Christmas Eve in 2011 in a small town of Newcastle, I received the gift of eternal life, Jesus Christ, and that's why I'm here. That would be an amazing thing to look back on. Let's pray. Oh, by the way, if you do that,